the 3rd, 2016. It says on this calendar, in 2 days, there is Cinco de Mayo, which I don't care about. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that You are in control of all things, including history. We recognize that we are getting into desperate times, but we don't have to be desperate. In fact, this is a great opportunity for us to shine. We were just thinking about shine, Jesus, shine, and that's how we shine, is when others see Jesus in us. So we pray that You will help us to focus, concentrate with an open mind so that we can be prepared for whatever comes. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to put this on the board. I was just going to read it, but I don't know, since this is working, we might as well use it. I don't know if y'all are up pretty close. You can probably see that. Can you see it, Pete? Can you read that? Okay. This is an article that came out today, and it was by the Family Research Center. And I like the Family Research Center. I think they do a lot of good things. But if you'll remember, last week I was talking about how they had an issue about Kim Davis back with the same-sex marriage deal. And it finally came to fruition, and they were all celebrating that they got an accommodation in that sense. And I was saying, that's nothing to celebrate about. It's a very hollow victory. In fact, I think it's a defeat. And so, lo and behold, I saw this today. And this article, I'm not going to read it all, but I've got some of the parts highlighted enough for us to understand the issue. On this article, they did the right thing. And why they didn't do it on the other is curious. But you'll see what I'm talking about as we go through. The name of the article was A New Wave of Intolerance, May the 2nd, 2016. So this came out yesterday, and I got it today. It looks like the Department of Education got a new boss, the Human Rights Campaign. I have never heard of the Human Rights Campaign. It sounds like it's a political activism or something, but it's evidently a department or some kind of organization. The far-left bullies are back at it, pulling the strings of their puppets in the Obama administration, this time over private religious exemptions. So this dovetails right in already. We're talking about exemptions, this time private religious exemptions. And I'll just read some of the bold part here. When President Obama started strong-arming the education system to adopt his radical views on sexual orientation and gender identity, faith-based schools were put in an awful position of embracing things like gender-free bathrooms and sport teams. So this is an ongoing thing. And they use what's called Title IX. You've probably heard about Title IX before. It's something that the government came up with that said that wherever you have males playing a sport, the females have to be able to have the same access, the same things that they do. And so they took this opportunity to try to use that Title IX in order to force colleges, universities to include transgenders in their restrooms and in their sports and all this. That's what they were trying to do. 2 years ago, the president decided to interpret that we're talking about Title IX, as transgender discrimination. And then I put in brackets so it will read properly. It should be included in Title IX, too. In other words, transgender discrimination is what he's saying is happening, because he's trying to force the universities to include this transgenders so they can go into the locker rooms, the showers, the bathrooms, all-inclusive, and he's trying to use Title IX to do that. Even though it would have never crossed anyone's mind in 1972 that such behavior warranted its own special category. This is when this came to pass in 1972. That's a long time ago. And they had no idea about, you say transgender, people say, what? But that's what they're using. Fortunately, Title IX does clearly offer religious exemptions for schools with a moral code that's in direct conflict with the administration's twisted agenda. So there's a little something there. But last sentence here. But to LGBT activists who believe every American should be forced to embrace their behavior as normative, it was cause for an all-out smear campaign. So they couldn't use Title IX. So what they did was they were going to try to shame the Department of Education doing this, the schools that weren't using this transgender into the Title IX. They thought they would get some bad press. And even hoping to help put pressure on schools, the HRC, that was the Human Rights, campaign, that organization tried to lean on the NCAA to do its bidding. Its sports associations would divest from all religious-based campuses like the groups wanted them, more colleges might reconsider. So now they couldn't do it through Title IX, so they said, well, let's go to the NCAA. We'll have them, we'll pressure them to make this happen. And down here on this sentence, where's Bo? However, the NCAA refused, arguing that it doesn't have the authority over Title IX. As usual, instead of the force of law, the Obama administration is threatening a bureaucratic nightmare for colleges who don't comply. So since they couldn't use the NCAA, they couldn't use Title IX, they said, well, what we're going to do is have the Department of Education and all their agencies to just have a blizzard of bureaucratic red tapes and forms and all these things that they had to do to try to bring them around. And they would relinquish that if they would buckle under to this transgender business here. As usual, the report, well, it says, since the DOE, Department of Education, can't use federal funds as leverage in private schools that don't get many, if any, in other words, federal government can't touch the private schools, essentially, the agency is taking a different tack, burying them in unnecessary paperwork. As usual, the reporting requirements came from the unofficial advisors at the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign. These are unelected, unofficial advisors that are making these requirements on these private schools. So, the requirements came from the unofficial advisors at the HRC who think the government should make administrators publish the number of exemptions, the scope of each exemption, and which Title IX provisions are not exempted. Now here, what I haven't read is the whole reason I'm bringing this to you. This is the Family Research Council, and this is what they say. The bottom line is this. No one should have to get a waiver to exercise their First Amendment rights. Hallelujah and amen. They said it here. What I'm wondering, why didn't they say the same thing in the article came out the week before when they were celebrating that they got an accommodation and an exemption for Kim Davis, all she had to do was stand on their First Amendment rights. You see, that was such a lost opportunity. But what they did, and what so many of them are doing wrong, they're listening to lawyers and they say, well, we'll go the judicial route and we'll take it through the courts. You don't have to go through the courts. All that they had to do, Mike Huckabee went down there. I can't remember the lawyer's name that was the lead one. And they had a big fall-to-all, and she came out and she got out of prison, out of jail, because she had an accommodation as an exemption. What if Mike Huckabee would have said, look, Karen, what you need to do is not get out on an exception, an exemption, or an accommodation. Because what they are doing is against the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, which is a God-given right. What you should say is, no, I will not accept an exemption or an accommodation because I don't need one. Because that would weaken and dilute the Constitution and our God-given rights. So I'm just going to sit and wait until they start following the Constitution and I'll get out on the First Amendment. Then I'll come out. Wouldn't it have been fun? See, this whole thing could have been nipped in the bud right there if they would have done that. But they're hoodwinking the whole nation because the whole nation doesn't know what's going on. And they think these people know what they're doing and they must be following the Constitution. They're not even close. And so here we have the bottom line is that no one should have to get a waiver, an accommodation, or an exemption to exercise their First Amendment rights. And that's what Kim Davis was doing. You see how important this is and how that could have changed the whole flavor of this movement of now people are seeking exemptions and accommodations for something they have no need for. All they need to do is hold their office holders to their feet to the fire saying, you abide by the Constitution. I don't need an accommodation. I don't need a waiver. All I need is what I already have, and that's my God-given right that is enshrined in the First Amendment. I have the freedom of speech. I have the freedom of religion. I have all these things, and I don't need an accommodation. You understand why I'm showing you this? And isn't it, I guess you could say it's coincidence that the very next week they're saying what I was hoping they would say on the article that we had that was pertinent to Kim Davis. Says the fact that the government is even using these intimidation tactics is a cause for congressional action. And 9 times out of 10, whatever, I don't care what's happening, when it's untoward, when it's wrong, when it's unconstitutional, when it's immoral, when it's something that is wrong, you can trace it back to the Constitution and they're in action. And they're sitting by and letting all this take place. All they have to do is, in this case, tell the executive branch, the president, and these unelected bureaucrats, they have no force of law, and we still have our God-given rights, the First Amendment right, especially the one in view here, and just back off. That's what should happen. This is the last paragraph right here. Senator James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, agrees and has been at the forefront of pushing back on the Department of Education and the Department of Justice. By the way, you know, both of those departments are unconstitutional. They've been around for a long time, have thousands, hundreds of thousands of people working for them. Just think, if we went back to being actually following the Constitution, you wouldn't have to have a balanced budget amendment, you would be within the confines of the Constitution. It'd be easy to have a balanced budget. By the way, anybody that is for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution don't know what they're talking about. Because we don't need an amendment to balance the budget. All we have to do is put the government back in its box, in its enumerated powers, and then we wouldn't have to worry about balancing the budget. It would happen already. But nobody's talking about that because they don't think in they just don't think in the terms they ought to be. So this James Lankford is pushing back on the Department of Education and Department of Justice for elbowing their way onto college campuses. The Department of Education has been bullying schools to comply with policies that simply do not have the force of law, he argued on the Senate floor. By the way, why is that? Where would you... He could back that up with one statement, and you ought to know what it is. This is what he said again. The Department of Education have been bullying schools to comply with policies that simply do not have force of law. Why do they not? Who is the only branch of government that can legislate? The Congress. No one in the executive branch or the judicial branch. All legislation comes from the Congress. And these unelected bureaucrats and this human rights campaign, this organization, they're forcing schools to do things. Where's the force of law? None. It's null and void. The Department of Education has been bullying schools to comply with policies that simply do not have the force of law, he argued on the Senate floor. Instead of promulgating rules that conflict with congressional intent, the Department of Education has skirted the rulemaking process altogether by issuing guidance documents they call Dear Colleague Letters. That smacks of the man in the White House making law with memos. You remember? The immigration law, essentially, that he declared when he went up before the American public and said, I have a pen and I have a phone, and from now on, we're going to have all these illegal aliens. He didn't say it that way. Illegal aliens come in here. And a lot of people said that was an executive order. That wasn't an executive order. It was a memo. And the whole country bows down. So they're writing Dear Colleague letters. No school or student should be harassed for holding or expressing views protected by the Constitution. If the president won't rein in his education officials, then Congress must. Now this man, Senator James Lankford, I applaud him for getting up and saying that. Did you hear about any of this on the mainstream media? No. And I would suggest, and I would expect this to fall on complete death ears, because it's holding someone to the Constitution, and they don't like to talk about that. Okay, now we're back to our discernment notes, and we are in Publius Helda's paper on the biblical foundation of the Constitution. I like the ring of that. And most people would say, what? Biblical foundation of the Constitution? Are you kidding me? And yet in her regular, systematic, very organized fashion, she is going one point at a time and she's nailing every one of them as she goes. We ended last time. This was her point. This was her last point. The people's obligation to obey the civil law, civil authorities, is conditional upon the civil authorities obeying the higher law. You know how important that is? How many people know that? How many people are doing that? And then she is giving the Federalist Papers. And in Federalist Paper number 78, she said, every act of a delegated authority, contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised, is void. No legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be valid. And then down here in the next Federalist Paper number 16, he said, he points out that Congress can't usurp powers unless the people go along with it. He also pointed out, because judges may be embarked in a conspiracy with the legislature, the people who are the natural guardians of the Constitution, who's the natural guardians? We are. Must be enlightened enough to distinguish between legal exercise and illegal usurpation of authority. And that's what we're talking about now. You will know it. And you will be maybe 1% of the people that have this knowledge, and it should be across the board. It should have been taught in school to where everyone has this knowledge. Of course, it is not. And then, so Hamilton applies the biblical model of what we are supposed to do when the federal government acts outside of the Constitution. We are to recognize that their acts are void, and we are to take whatever prudent measures are necessary to enforce the Constitution. Now, we start new ground today. What can we do? I'm imagining everybody here and everybody listening would like to know that. We understand the problem. We've seen through all this paper the problem. Now, what can we do? The first thing, learn the Constitution. Hamilton admonishes us, then demand that the federal and state officials obey it and don't go along with them if they violate it. So we have to learn. You have to be aggressively learn the rights and the future of this country is dependent upon you learning these things. Just like we have to learn the Bible, we have to learn about the difference between what is positional and what is experiential. We have to learn what the different dispensations and how God dealt with people in different ways in these dispensations. Apart from that, you cannot understand the Bible. These are fundamental basic things, but how many people are taught that? They're abysmally ignorant about the principles that are found in the Bible, and even more so when it comes to the biblical principles of the relationship between Christians and their government. So we have to learn. We have to extend ourselves. And I've given you websites. Go over these notes. Go to Publius Holder's notes. Go over to the Sheriff's Brigade of Penn, that website as well. And on the columns, you'll just see tons of information. Whatever you want to know about, click on it. It's hyperlinked and it's got the information right there. Read the Constitution so you understand what it means. The Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. I've already given you. The Constitution isn't hard. This is the Constitution for the whole nation. It only has 7 articles. It's not long. And when you start to digest it and you start to see this, how they are supposed to stay each in their own branch of government, one checking the other, and then you have a Bill of Rights. Someone was, what was that? I had an email. I was looking at this. Oh, I remember what it was. It was a YouTube. And in Magnolia, Texas, there's a school there with a out-of-control woman principal who is forbidding the parents to come on school grounds to pick up their children. It's the government right over the schools rather than the parents' right and authority. This woman, in this YouTube, it shows this one woman who had, she lived less than a block from the school, and she had triplets and a daughter that she would walk to the school and pick them up and walk back. Well, the principal had a sign, no parents on school grounds any longer. She went anyway, and when she got home the next day, she had a constable at her door threatening to fine her or put her in jail for passing, for going onto school property. That's right there in Magnolia, Texas. And what I was talking to Carrie while this was going on, and I said, if this woman only knew her rights, she could have told, first of all, when that constable came to her door, first of all, on what authority are you on my private property? Because unlike the school property that is public, this is private. What authority do you have, and who sent you? And if he says, well, so-and-so, so-and-so, well, doesn't mean anything to me. You don't have a warrant. You can't come on this property. Get out. That's what she could have done. Of course, she was very nice to him, but she was within her rights to tell him, take a hike. Come up here and threatening me. My point is, if she would have known her rights, she wouldn't have been so intimidated by this man. And she was telling the school board that, how can this be? One reason she bought that house was to be within walking distance of the school. And now, on what authority does this school principal have to tell parents they can't walk their children to school or go into public property that the people are paying for? People have been pushed back so far, they'll nearly acquiesce to anything. That just gets my blood up when this type of thing happens. But what I'm saying, if she would have known her rights, and she was talking before the school board, and she could have said to the school board, what is your right to allow a principal to bully the parents this way? And what authority does it come from? Because I don't care if you say it's a statute, code, rule, or regulation, and the school board, constitution, whatever you have, we have a constitution of our nation that is the supreme law of the land, and that includes Magnolia School District. You see, you can appeal to that, and just like you can appeal to the Bible. Well, you have to learn first. You have to know that that's the case. And you, But Christians say, well, yeah, but you know, Christians need to show love and they need to be nice. Well, there's a time to be nice, there's time to show love, and there's time to be firm. Because if you are not, then you will get bulldozed in the society that we're in now. I'm not talking about being disrespectful. I'm talking about knowing your rights and exercising them. Second thing is to read. Read our Declaration of Independence and Constitution until you become familiar with them. Stick to original sources, the Federalist Papers, and beware of the ignorant know-it-alls with their lazy theories. You're always going to have someone come up to you when you're saying, look, I'm not going to comply with this. This is not right. You'll know inside. Your conscience is telling you, no, this is not right. These people that are standing up to these homosexuals that come in and say, I'm going to have a wedding. You need to bake a cake for us. You need to have pictures. Be the photographer. Be a part of this. And these people are saying, no, we will not do it. And what's happening? They're being fined. And if they don't pay the fine, they'll go to jail. In America, this is happening. And people are just saying, oh, well. Christian persecution has begun, and the church is asleep. So it doesn't matter what theories or anybody tells you. Once you know the Constitution, I'm going to say this again because I want you to have confidence in this. When you use the Constitution for your source and your reference of what you are able to do, and you use the Bible as well, I don't care what anyone says, it does not trump either one of those. Do you understand that? And you can be totally confident. We've got people right here. We got people who hold office, high office, even here in Brenham, and they don't know what I'm teaching you right now. And they think that nullification, oh, that's a horrible thing. That's unconstitutional. And they'll say, well, you can't nullify something because it's not a constitutional right. How stupid is that? They don't know that our rights don't come from the Constitution? They don't know that this is a natural right of self-defense? Rebuke officials and judges who violate the Constitution. Specify the violation, usually the violation, that what they did is not an enumerated power. Remember we talked about the Catholic priests and how they made an issue that a personal issue. They don't believe in sex. What do they call them? Birth control. And Obamacare mandates that you contribute to it, and it has birth control. And so they made that the issue, and they lost because they made the wrong argument. The right argument was to say, "Show me in the federal constitution where health care is an enumerated power. And if you cannot show it to me, you cannot do it." Why aren't the Congress, the representatives, and the Senate, all of them, saying that same thing right now to all the people and letting them know, we don't have to do this. It's not an enumerated power. And the Tenth Amendment says if it's not an enumerated power, they can't do it, and it's reserved for the states and to the people. That's not hard. But we have all this gobbledygook and all this nonsense. Go right to the top. You show me the enumerated power, we'll do it. If it's not there, you can't do it. You're breaking the law, you are a criminal, and you have broken your oath. Until that happens, this nonsense is going to continue to snowball. Until somebody stands up and makes the Constitution the issue and the Word of God as well. Then it says, elect state and county officials who will nullify unconstitutional acts of Congress, executive orders, and judicial opinions. All the questions that they should be asking, these are the type of questions that you should be asking and the media should be asking to see who you would vote for or not. Because if they won't nullify the unconditional acts, executive orders, and judicial opinions that have the color of law, but they are toothless, Because only the legislative branch, the Congress, can legislate, can make laws. No one else. Nobody else. Here's a model nullification resolution for state legislatures. Now, we're going to get into that in a little bit, I believe. I'm not going to do it here. But this is so phenomenal. And then, but right now we're talking about what can we do? Learn, read, rebuke, elect. And then the last one, we should have no problem doing this. Talk. Don't we like to talk? We need to talk about the right things. We don't need to be talking about the sports or the weather and all these other things. I mean, that's okay. But we need to talk about things of substance. We need to talk about the things that have to do with soteriology, salvation. We should talk about Christology, things of Christ. But we live in a world that incorporates a lot of other areas, and the government is one of them, and the Bible addresses that too. And if there ever was a time that we need to be talking about that, this is the time, while we still can. So it says, talk to your pastor, priest, or rabbi. We all share the Old Testament. So that's true. Whether it's a priest, Catholic, whether it's a rabbi, a Jew, we all share the Old Testament. We must, well, this doesn't apply to us. We must dust off our copies. Copies of what? The Bible. We must dust off our copies and read them, renounce escapism and defeat, renounce the unbiblical doctrine of socialism. And it says here, listen to Father Andrew. This is a hyperlink. Well, I hit that hyperlink and I listened to Father Andrew. He made a few good points, but his theology was so horrible, I didn't want you to hear it. I mean, he made a few good points about the government, but the rest I just was gagging. So, anyway, I won't go there. He says, renounce the unbiblical doctrine of divine right of kings. Do you know that's what we're operating under now? Do you think Obama is operating under the rules, the laws of a constitutional republic? No. He thinks he's the king. He operates that way, and who's stopping him? Why shouldn't he? If he can get by with it, and he's getting by with it. So, denounce the doctrine of the divine right of kings. You know, that was a time for centuries. The people bought the idea that the king had a divine right to rule. In other words, whatever he said was if God himself was speaking and there was no alternative. There was no recourse. Unlimited subjection is what that entails. The false doctrine that God granted autonomy to civil authorities. Listen, civil authorities are our servants. They're not our master. And today, the great masses of people don't see them as their servants. They see them as their master. So you have some little pencil neck, tin pot hat bureaucrat barking orders at people that has zero authority, and people are just cowering before them because they don't see them as what they are, servants that must keep within the enumerated powers of the Constitution. Declare independence from federal government and throw off the chains of the 501c3 tax exemption. Start being the salt and light we are called to be, the watchman on the wall. And then she says, PH for Publius Hulda. I want you to mute that for just a minute. Can you do that? See if you can mute it, because I want to say something. I don't want to go over the air right now.
Oh, okay.
I guess I can turn off my mic.